says. Chicken. Here's the question. Which came first? Your emotions or your thoughts? It depends on the context.
Sometimes I think your actions can produce your emotions, which can produce your thoughts as well.
Okay.
You're walking around slowly.
Okay. Okay, hold your thought there. Hold your emotion there. Okay. Right. So you're saying actions can be a character.
Okay. If you walk around
okay.
Really bad,
yes.
Can produce an emotion, which can produce further.
Correct. Correct. Yes. Does one have to come first? Good question. Okay. Now, we all know. Now, here's a fact. I know where the struggle is. Thoughts do produce emotions. Emotions do produce the thoughts. But which is a stronger cause? Thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Yep. Okay. Let me give a hypothetical case. Just one more, yes?
Yeah, just like your chicken and egg, and you went back to the bowl and said the chicken come first.
Yes.
Well, God spoke, which is the outletting of a thought.
Yes.
And the world was created. Before God spoke, we have no feeling about the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the thought has to come first.
The thought has to come first. Okay. Now, you're driving along in your car. You're driving along in your car. Nicely whistling in your car, singing to yourself. Suddenly at the traffic light, somebody, something, or someone from the dark past, someone who hates you, comes along. Does all kinds of things, haunts you, boos at you, do all kinds of things, and you could say you're so spirit filled, you just go, I love you with the love of the Lord. Or you could say you did feel those emotions at first. First you felt repulsed, you felt angered, and all those things. Now, examine the emotion. It just, like you say, the activity brought the emotion. The emotion can trigger a whole series of thoughts about that person. There's a cause and effect. No, you were driving along. Oh, deep inside. Deep inside. Correct. That's right. Yes. So, that's right. So, did the emotion trigger those thoughts? Or did the thoughts trigger the emotion?
The emotion triggered the release of the thoughts that you already
have. The emotion triggered the release of thoughts that you already have. Okay, that's a very long answer, touching the ear this way. Yes.
There are two situations. There is a situation where there is no thought. But something happens.
Yes.
And when that happens, like that issue of the red light.
Yes.
Someone drives along, bumps into you.
Yeah. Yes.
A lot of times you already have a deep sense in you against somebody. You see
then
it
can
be. It comes up again.
So correct.
I think it depends on
correct.
Where you're dealing with the situation.
Where you're dealing with the situation. So you see, it could be a stranger.
Yeah.
You're driving along. He's a rude stranger, drunkard. He bumps into your car. He's at fault. He shouts at you. He scolds you. Does that make you angry? Yes. Yes.
You have to first think, oh, he punched me before you have any reaction.
Yes. I've got to think about how I'm going to react.
So you have to have the thought first.
Mm-hmm.
My money's on the chicken.
Your money's on the chicken? What is the chicken? Yes.
The fact that you met the person that traffic, like whatever happened, is actually, whether word or action, it painted you, not inside you.
Okay. Good. Good point. Based on what Kevin has said about the store of thoughts, could there be a store of emotions?
Yes.
Not thoughts, they're just emotions.
Yes.
And then the doctor comes and tells you the prognosis and says, well, you feel fine, you went for physical checkup. Doctor tells you the prognosis is, I'm sorry, you got 3 months to live. Zoom. Okay, the words cause it, but the emotions of life and death which you haven't dealt with before. If you've dealt with life and death before and you're sort of settled in your life, whether you live today, you die tomorrow, it doesn't cause you much grief. But suddenly you got to wrestle with 3 months life left. All the thoughts flood you. One statement. Now, no doubt you could say a thought brought forth the emotions. Then we look at this faith. There are many degrees of thoughts. Degrees of things that you bring forth. So is it a stored emotion that was bursting forth out of you? Or what? Let's look at some scientific research at the moment, right? Before we go to the Bible. It is scientifically researched today to realize that as a human being grows into adulthood, that from the time in their teens up to the time they become adults, most children make decisions based on a different part of their being, of their brain, they examine when they make decisions, not based on the cerebral cortex, which is an area of your brain near your forehead, but deeper inside, near your brain stem, which controls your emotions. And they found out that because of that, a lot of teenagers, quote-unquote, I mean, teenagers are smart, right? They handle facts. But there is an underlying emotion affecting their decision-making. Isn't it what interesting to find? Solomon, the wisest man of the East, more wise than anybody else, with so much information and knowledge. But a lot of his decisions are emotionally based. The Bible says he loved other women outside of the moral law of God. It caused his downfall. So your question, my question is, why does a smart man make a stupid decision? Is it because he was guided by his thoughts or was guided by his emotions? Emotions are involved. Yeah, emotional thoughts, you call it, right? Well, thoughts are involved. But you notice that there's an undercurrent flowing in terms of emotions and thoughts, and which is a cause and effect area. Emotions become a filter for everything else. Yes. So if emotion is a filter, is it a steering wheel filter that directs a person's life? And let's look at some Bible examples. Right. Judas, when he betrayed Jesus, was it a sinister plot that he hatched all the time? Or was it something that he could hatch, but something else triggered what he did? Was something triggering what he did? And let me show you from the Bible that there is a possibility that anger triggered Judas Iscariot and to do what he did. In the Gospel of Matthew, let's look at the Gospel of Matthew. It would be in a passage where the woman with the alabaster pot of oil was coming to Jesus and washing and anointing Jesus with the alabaster pot of oil. And old oil. Okay, here we got it. Ointment, yes. 26, Matthew chapter 26. Let's look at the right place. Verse 7. Yes. A woman came to Jesus in Matthew 26 verse 7, having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. His disciples were indignant. Now, here's another example. His disciples saw it and were indignant. Not just Judas Iscariot, a lot of his other disciples. Indignant is a feeling, an emotion of, how to describe indignant? Disgust, scorn, a little bit of anger. They have feelings. Now, what caused the disciples to feel that way? Because they were interpreting the whole situation through their filter. So, remember, here we're trying to coordinate things together. Last week, we left you with a point that all words contain soul, emotion, or spiritual qualities. If all words contain that, then all thoughts contain emotions and spiritual quality. If all thoughts and all words contain emotions and also possibly spiritual qualities, then something else beyond those thoughts can be directing our life, produce all those things. So suddenly you have the disciples filled with indignant. They were indignant saying, why these ways? Obviously, that is an emotion. They did not say, why do we waste? No. They felt emotions. Why are we wasting? There's an emotion behind the question. It was not an economic question alone. There was an emotional undertone that this is being allowed. Judas could be the one stirring it up. Let's look at the incident. For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. Jesus said, why are you troubling her? Think about it. This life is full of emotions. You read the papers. Papers provide you the facts and emotions. The reactions of people. Reaction of the journalist who wrote it. The editor tries not to be biased, but ends up sometimes biased. The emotions involved. When people go for election, they're emotional about which party they want to vote for. They're emotional about what people stand for. When the representatives stand for to be elected, they have emotions. They feel emotions about their agenda and their mandate. Emotions are involved in every aspect of life. How much does it affect us? Let me tell you, it's more than we realize. More than we realize. And it's not just the capability of our IQ or our intellect that governs our life. At the root core, we are all moved by emotions. In the root core, we are all moved by emotions. Not necessarily by our intellect. If the world were moved by intellect, pure wisdom and intellect, the world will not be what it is. But a lot of things done, a lot of things said in our world is moved by pure emotions. And then Jesus was aware of it. And then he said something good about the woman. Then in verse 14, let's cross-reference. So this is an example of that happening. Now, when you cross-reference to this same incident in Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Same incident. Same incident in verse 3 to 9. Then verse 10 says, then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him